Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Signals from the Hill, a podcast about comics from Avery Hill Publishing. Today on the podcast, we're going to be reviewing 2023 and looking ahead to what's in store for 2024. I'm joined by three members of the Avery Hill marketing team, Katrina Chapman, Chloe Green, and Daniel Toot. Hello, and Happy New Year to you all.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Hi. I think we can still say Happy New Year. I think it's still just about legal. So
We've got a couple more days.
excellent. So the first thing we're going to do is discuss our year in comics in general, from all your point of view, because we all do different things in comics as well as Avery Hill. We're all got our fingers in many pies, so comics pies. So Chloe, would you like to go first?
So my other comic pie is Thought Bubble, the comic convention and festival. 2023 was an insanely good year for us. Obviously, everyone knows how COVID effect had this massive effect on in-person events, and although it's still very, very much there and still having a huge impact on everybody's lives, it feels like people have got that willingness and to be out there again. And you could really, really feel that at the convention this year. It felt a lot more like it used to be. We had record ticket sales, we had record exhibitor applications, and it was just great. It was just so much fun. I say it all the time that it's this event where everyone gets to see all their comic mates for the one time a year. And it's always it feels like a total blessing to be there. And yeah, this year just felt like a really special one again. It's great.
Yep, absolutely. I can confirm shows are back, people are back. It felt a lot more chill this year. And it was a good time. And sales were good as well. So that's good. Danielle?
Yeah, I work for OK Comics in Leeds, so I handle their website and the mail order there. We actually just celebrated the 20th anniversary of the shop, so that's like our massive deal for the year, which meant that we put together a range of like the 20 most important books of the last 20 years, bringing in customers and ex-staff and just like everybody saying what meant the most to them, which was really nice. And it also meant that we had a big party. I had a beer launch with Northern Monk and did a merch launch, but the main event was the party where we had 20 years of staff come back in. And a lot of us haven't met each other because we've never had that crossover before, and it was just really, really lovely.
Cool. Kat?
2023, I was mostly alongside working with Avery Hill, I was mostly trying to get a book, a graphic novel drawn, which has gone a lot slower than expected, but I reached the milestone right at the end of 2023 of getting all the line art finished. So all it's
Yay.
really, thank you.
Well done.
All that's left is colouring it, which is still a load of work, but it's nice to be at that point. And I got to meet the editor of the book, who's American, so that was cool because I wasn't sure if or when I would ever meet him, but he came for a visit last year. And yeah, I've been doing some slightly new stuff for Avery Hill. Like I've taken more of a role in preparing the books for print, which I've been really, really enjoying because there's just something about the process of that I really like, all the sort of technical details and things. So that's been really fun for me over the last year. And yeah, talking of events, I also organised the programming for the South London Comic and Zine Fair, which Avery Hill were at in the spring. And that was, no, not spring, early summer. That was a lot of work, but really, really fun. And like Chloe was saying, it was another one of those times where everyone gets to kind of catch up. So that was a really nice event to be part of.
I totally forgot that was 2023 that happened. That was so much fun. And the program that you put together was great as well. Such like a fun, interesting selection of talks.
I somewhat wish I hadn't volunteered to film them all and post them online as well, like all the video stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But it was worth doing. It was really fun.
It's nice
Great.
that it's all available to watch online as well
Yeah, it's really
for
nice
people
when
like me in Leeds that can't get to
online.
it.
Great. And then from my point of view, other than obviously Avery Hill In general, I took over the podcast presenting from Kat, and that's been a lot of fun. I interviewed Nicole Goo, Briggs, Elise Weaver, George Wilesow, and Tilly Walden, and they were all really great chats because they're all people I like a lot. So that was good to be able to have catch up with them. And we try to mess around with the format a bit and do a few things like looking at. Rather than just going back over, because a few of them have been on it a lot of times before, trying to go back over all their comics past. We were with George and Briggs, we kind of did analysis of some of the media that had influenced them, what kind of fed into their work. And with Tilly, we did a big review of when we worked on the comic, the web comic for Honor Sunbeam, and just kind of went through, reminisced for far too long about the fun we had making that book. So yeah, that was all good for me this year. Now we're each going to choose a highlight of the year from comics in general. Kat, do you want to go first on that one?
Sure. My highlight that I picked for from comics in general was that I got to experience going to a French comics festival for the first time ever. Obviously, there's a lot of very famous French comics festivals like Angoulême, but this was a quite a small one. It's only been running for a few years. It's called Gribouille, which means scribble, apparently in French, and it was fantastic because, as I say, I'd never been to any. Actually, I don't think I've been to any events in Europe before, apart from one in the Netherlands, like almost 15 years ago or something, before I was even really involved in comics. So this was really cool. And I was lucky enough to be a guest. So I had the really nice experience of having a talk kind of arranged in a library. So I got to meet some readers of the French translation of my book, but I also just got to see what a French festival was like, a little bit different to some of the English ones in certain ways, but very similar just in the vibe and the fact that you have these really passionate readers coming along who are really into the world of comics. And it was really interesting just to see how they ran the festival. There was a lot more wine than I was used to. It was in Bordeaux. A lot more wine than I was used to in UK festivals. But it was a lot of fun and just really interesting to kind of compare.
Great. Danielle?
I think my highlight was getting to take my little brother to Thought Bubble. He turned 16 this year and he's never been to anything like that before. So getting to show him and see his kind of like the fresh enjoyment from his eyes was really beautiful. And it's just such a lovely place where everybody is so nice and getting to see creators that I kind of gush over online all the time is always lovely. And getting to go down to MCM as well for the Diamond Retailer event was interesting. I've never been to London on my own, and like navigating just your tube service is just a job in itself, I think. But yeah, the events in the UK are just really, really amazing. It's nice that we've got this kind of community.
Chloe.
It's really difficult to kind of pinpoint one thing, because I've got a few things from like a personal point of view. But if I'm thinking like of the wider comics world, it's kind of seen some people getting the recognition that they've always deserved, but on like a on a bigger level. Alice Osman's fifth volume of Heartstopper came out not that long ago, and broke records on the fastest selling graphic novel in the UK, which is really cool to see. Seeing Tilly Walden get into the Forbes 30 under 30 as well is so cool because he deserves so much recognition. And just little things like that, where you kind of seeing comics transcend a little bit, because we all know how great comics are, and but it's cool seeing it kind of in black and white a little bit more for everyone else to see it.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's like Anna Reidman getting the Telegraph Prize as well.
exactly, things like that. It's really cool.
great. And for me, I'm going to do something to do with shows as well. And that is the South London Comic and Zine Fair, which was a really great highlight. We've basically got no shows left in London. They've all gone. So I've London Comic and Zine Fair coming back and fill in the void of things like LCAF and the Hackney Comic and Zine Fair, and it's just doing such a great job, especially how small it is. It was just super busy. The quality was amazing. Like, I got so many great books from there. Everyone's super nice, and obviously Kat did such a great job on all the presentations and talks and things. So yeah, other than the fact it's in deepest, darkest South London, which I'm from, but getting there from Northeast London now, I had to get a taxi and I got so car sick on the way because it's just all bumps and winding roads.
No, I
That
travelled down from Leeds.
was
It was
probably, to be fair, that was probably quicker.
it was the second ever comic like event that I've tabled at, and it properly blew my mind. It was great, and just seeing even just the people that visited as well, and being like, I know them from the internet of being like comic people. That was really, yeah, really cool.
Yep, absolutely. And also, I just want to quickly add Daniel Warren Johnson's Transformers comic, which I am a big nerd. That's why I'm into comics. The first comic I ever used to love when I was a child was a Transformers comic that used to come out in the 80s and 90s. And to have it rebooted by, well, definitely one of the best creators around at the moment is very cool.
Yeah.
So, next, we're each going to pick an Avery Hill book to talk about this year because this is the Avery Hill podcast. Danielle, do you want to go first on this one?
So my choice for the year was Nicole Groove's Pet Peeves, which is a absolutely beautifully illustrated graphic novel about a young woman called Bobby, who is an aspiring musician living with her flatmates, who's trying to get by, but also maybe floundering a little bit. And she discovers this dog, and it starts to suck the literal and metaphorical life out of her. And it's just, I think it's just such a beautifully put together book. Like, you've got these pages, I'm just trying to find it, where the panels just flow so well, especially when you see Bobby exploring her music. And I just think it's so nice to see these things explored in comics in such a really beautiful way. And the way that Nicole uses panels in comics as well is just outstanding. I couldn't put it down from the beginning to the end.
Cool. Cat.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Big Ugly by Elise Weaver, which anyone that knows Elise's artwork knows that it's just absolutely stunning. But what I really love about this book is that the real sort of in-depth look at this sort of sibling relationship. It's about two adult siblings who are sort of thrown back to living together after one of them has a sort of relationship breakup. And it's a really deep dive into their kind of psychology and the dynamics of their relationship, which is not the most easy relationship. And the cover's really cool because I don't know if you'll be able to see, but it's kind of the siblings looking at each other across the table with kind of hatred and which is quite clever to do that across the covers. And I also really love the title page, which is a panel from later on in the story, after they've just had an argument. And I really love it because it's a moment where they're trying their best to kind of not be awful to each other, and they're kind of smiling at each other, and it's kind of coming out in a horrible grimace, which is just kind of represents the whole dynamic of their relationship, really. But it's kind of fascinating. It's about the ripples of childhood trauma and how they kind of go carry through between generations. You don't really know what happened to them, particularly in their childhood. You get a few little glimpses. But yeah, you're just kind of left to guess. But it's quite dark and it's quite sad, but it's also quite, I think it kind of has some positivity to it. It's just people doing their best, really. But yeah, it's everything I love about a story. Looking at people's how humans relate to each other, and what makes people behave the way they do. So yeah, that's my one.
Cool, Chloe.
So my pick is The Hard Switch by Owen Pomery. It's a science fiction graphic novel, which really isn't the kind of thing that I would normally read. Even though I'm a massive science fiction fan, I feel like the level of comics that I've read in that genre are mega limited. But I'm super glad that I read this because the world that Owen can create is just surreal. Like I don't know how he does it. But the story follows this little team. I feel like I dumb things down so much. So it's this little team that are in space, and there's an event. They're kind of like hinting towards this event that's going to happen, the hard switch, which is going to be life changing for everyone. And suddenly there's this really clear split between rich people and poor people, and a lot of things that really mirror what's happening in the real world at the minute. And so it does kind of get a little bit political, and I don't want to go into it too much because I think everyone should read it because it goes places that I really didn't expect it to. And there's characters in it that you absolutely fall in love with, and I really, really hope that he does more with this world because it feels like there's so much more that he can say. But yeah, I think if you are just into graphic novels, full stop, it's something that you should read because it's a lot of fun.
Cool. And I have chosen Curses by George Wallace. This is the third book we've done with George, following the Internet Crusader and 2120. This is kind of an expansion of the first book that he did with us called Ghosts, etc., which was a collection of a few of his short strips that we've kind of added to and expanded on, and with some medium size strips now as well, I guess. Some like about 60, 70 pages long. And yeah, it's, if you know George's work, you'll know basically it's the kind of low retro tech horror type stuff that he normally does, with lots of corridors and very bold colors and grotesque imagery and beautiful ugliness, I guess, and just kind of creeping dread around every corner, I would say. And it's in general with George this year, like, I think one of my great pleasures this year has been in watching him kind of rise as a creator. And you can kind of see it on social media now, like, he gets some really good following and a lot of good comments whenever he posts anything, and his books are getting loads more interest. Like 2120 was turned out to be a big hit. We just thought it's going to be this niche, massive book that will cost us a lot of money, but it's done super well. And yeah, we had to reprint that last year as well. So yeah, it's been really exciting to see how well George has been doing. Now we're each going to choose a favorite other comic of the year, because apparently other publishers have been putting books out as well. So yeah, Kat, do you want to go first?
I'm going to talk about Mexikid by Pedro Martin, who is a comic artist that's been posting these short comics on Instagram for years, and I've been sort of following him for years, and they're really, really funny little tiny sort of anecdotes about his childhood. And so I was really excited to learn that he was going to be doing a big book. I didn't really know anything about it until I actually read it. And it's really cool. It's kind of a lot of things. It's like a road trip story and a family drama and a coming of age. And it tells a story. It's sort of it's autobiographical. It's the story of a trip he did with his whole family when he was a kid, back to Mexico, because they live in the States, back to Mexico to collect his grandfather and bring him back to live with them. And it's a big family. Half of the children of the family were born in Mexico and grew up there, and half the children were born in the States. So they have a real mix of experiences within the same family. And it's just very, very funny. And the artwork is brilliant. It's kind of got sections where he creates a kind of old-fashioned 60s book kind of comic book style, because the kid, him as a young person in the comic, is really into those comics. And it's a way that he bonds with his grandfather in the story as well, is through drawing with him. So there's a whole bunch of different kind of styles, and a little bit like like Danielle was talking about with pet peeves, there's kind of like so many creative page layouts and sort of design choices where there's all sorts of things that sort of break away from just having a comics grid, which I think is really cool. Like here's a bit where he's done a kind of view of their family Winnebago, where you can kind of see how it's set up. It's just a lot of fun, and explores some of the cultural stuff about what it's like to be, a Mexican child growing up in America and experiencing both cultures. So yeah, very good.
Cool. Danielle.
My choice for the year was Ashes by Alvaro Ortiz. I followed Alvaro for years on online and always really loved his art, so I was very, very excited to see that we were getting a translation of this, and it did not disappoint. It's a beautifully illustrated story about three friends who travel cross country to spread the ashes of their friend, and it's gorgeously illustrated with like such amazing color palettes, and it's one of those things that a lot of the time I find that translated comics can sometimes be not they're not translated well, or they don't the humor doesn't across come across, or the threat doesn't come across, but this is one of those books where the humor is perfectly captured, and you don't know whether you should be laughing or not because these characters are in such nefarious situations that you don't know whether you should feel sorry for them, laugh at them, laugh with them, or genuinely worry about them. They are the three characters are followed throughout by Smirnov and Smirnov, who are two bounty hunters, and the predicaments that they get in are just fantastic. And again, with like Nicole Goo's use of like panel layout, it's also really cleverly put together. And then, yeah, I was so excited to read it, and it was one of those things that just it surpassed my expectations.
I think I'm going to track that one down. That looks good. And so did Jaws Cat, by the way. But
Yeah, I want to read all of these.
Chloe?
Yeah, I haven't read that many 2023 comics because I've been trying to do a deep dive into things that I've missed. So I've read like Mouse and Ghost World and things that are quite old now. But from 2023, the thing that really stuck in my head was In Limbo by Deb J.J. Lee. It's an autobiographical comic, and people kind of describe it as a coming of age, and I feel like that's a bit of that kind of describes it, but kind of doesn't at all. So it's about Deb as a South Korean woman moving to America quite young and looking different and sounding different and having a name that people can't pronounce and all those kind of things that happen as someone moving to a new school. But it also gets quite dark and really personal, and there's a lot of talks about mental health, and so yeah, that's why I feel like coming of age kind of can skip over what it's actually about. And some of the things that she talks about in such an open way, it's I don't know, it's an excellent book, and her art is unreal as well. It feels like a real juxtaposition, these like dark things that are happening compared to this like beautiful, beautiful artwork. Yeah, high recommend. It's a beautiful book.
Cool. And I'm going to choose Why Don't You Love Me by Paul Rainey, which came out from D&Q this year. Paul has been a long-time fixture on the UK comics small press self-published scene. He was there way before us. One of the first small press comics I ever found was in Orbital Comics. Paul's comic called There's No Time Like the Present, which he self-published in 13 issues, and it just blew my mind that someone could self-publish a small press book in 13 issues, and definitely is one of the things that inspired Avery Hill. We really wanted to do collect that book, but it had already been picked up. And yeah, so that was, I don't know, 10 over 10 years ago, and now Paul is having massive success with this book, which is very Paul Rainey, and it's also very, very brilliant. It's been on loads of the end of year critics lists. It's a masterpiece. Neil Gaiman's on the back cover saying it's a masterpiece, so that means it is. And yeah, it's hard to know what to say about it without spoiling it too much. So I'll just say that it kind of it's about it starts well the story is about a couple, man and woman, and they've got two kids, and they all appear to hate each other and their lives and the kids. And they've both kind of come back from some either recent, it's kept vague, but there's been some kind of recent depression with both of them, and they haven't really left the house. And but there's something else going on that you can tell there's a subtext, and there's little things like they refuse to listen to the news or even be told about anything that's happening in real life. They keep One of them keeps forgetting the name of one of the kids, which even beyond the neglect they show the children is a sign that something else is going on, I think. And Paul, to hint at what's going on, Paul is a master at ground level sci-fi, I think is how I think about it, which is people caught up in sci-fi concepts without having any agency or any ability to even know what's going on. They're not the ones that are going to get in the spaceship and fix it. They're the ones who are just going to go, wow, what the hell just happened? Someone either saved us or we died. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say on it, other than you should read it because it's not what you think it is. Everyone says that about this book, but it isn't what you think it is, and it's probably even better than you think it is. And okay, now we're going to just have a quick look forward to what's coming up in 2024 for all of us. Like, just Kat, what are you looking forward to in 2024?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to finishing drawing my book if I can manage to make that happen in 2024. I'm not great at kind of keeping track of what's coming up in terms of comics releases, but I would like to read all the books that we've mentioned in this podcast. And also I started reading on Ricky's recommendation last year. I started reading 20th Century Boys, the manga by Naoki Urasawa, and I've read the first two volumes, so I'm next on my list is getting some more volumes of that because it's
Excellent.
fantastic.
Yeah, it's an amazing comic. Is yeah, definitely one of the best things I've ever read. Chloe?
That's a really hard one. It's so early in 2024. So personally, I've started working on a new comic. It'll probably take me longer than a year, but it's another autobiographical one about where I grew up in South Yorkshire, and the mining industry that kind of destroyed it just as I was born. So I'm looking forward to getting more into that. In terms of I can't wait for 2024 Thought Bubble. We're really, really early in the stages of planning, but it's looking like it's going to be excellent. We're really, really going for it this year.
Any exclusive news you can give us? Any special guests?
It'll be in November.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, sorry, I'm not allowed. I'll get destroyed. But it'll be good, I promise.
Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, they're all going to be there.
All the big guys,
Yeah, absolutely.
Stan Lee's coming back. And what else is happening? I'm looking forward to the next book of Clementine, to the Walden's Walking Dead, which I've just finished the second one and it was great. So yeah, that's it for me.
Cool. Danielle?
I'm really excited to see like people in the industry thrive. Like it's nice to see new publishers coming up, like Distillery, which is like trailblazing in comics at the moment, working with some really good UK writers and illustrators like Christian Ward. And also just looking forward to hooking up people with good comics, which is the day job, which is something that I really enjoy. And yeah, I think it's going to be a great year, looking at like things like Daniel Warren Johnson's extremity is getting a nice deluxe edition, which is like top of my list of things that I'm looking forward to.
Cool. I guess from my point of view, we've got Avery Hill got 8 books coming out this year, so we're kind of deep into most of those. So Barking by Lucy Sullivan comes out next month, and then the month after we've got Kit Anderson's Safer Places. Kit's a new creator, and we kind of signed her on a 2-book deal because we think a lot of her, and kind of discussing the script for the second book with her at the moment. Just been reading her first draft of that. We got the Very Weird and Wonderful, The Eccentric Scrapbook from Jay Webster Sharp. There's a new Tim Bird book coming out at the end of the year, which is obviously going to be a massive highlight. And we're completing two sagas in that we've got Mimi and the Wolves, the ending of that, and Beemia's Izmir. We've got 2 editions of that, which are going to round off that series. And we're starting a new one, which is Infinite Wheat Paste Book One by Pidge. So yeah, a lot going on. I'm hoping to get to an international festival as well. Mainly that's a wish because it hasn't been signed off in any way by my family, but I'm hoping.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Yeah, happy new year, and I will speak to you all soon about Avery Hill stuff probably.
Happy New
Bye.
Year.
Cool.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.